It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, SiriusXM Channel 204. Got my 5 minutes back at the top. Just enough time to remind you, it's all brought to you by the BetMGM app, where July marks the return of major sports. If you're in Nevada and want to get in on the action, you'll want to wager at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring world-class sportsbook and casino experiences to Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. And if you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, and hockey with football right around the corner, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Go to BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. On the show today, and it is just packed with nothing but picks. I'm counting five sports, and that doesn't even include our UFC picks from yesterday. So it's, I think it's six altogether. Don't hold me to that. We'll count them together. We'll talk to Ron Flatter here momentarily, get his thoughts on the Bluegrass Stakes, among other Flatter matters, if you will. Paul Carr, three Premier League picks this week, plus a Champions League draw. We'll get his reaction to that. That just came down this morning. Jason Weingarten, more MLB prop picks. Continuation of previous segments on this show on a numbers game. Chris Felica with his thoughts at Del Mar. Back to horse racing. Todd Wright, the greatest radio host of all time, talking golf. What did I miss? Oh, the latest with MLB blackout rules. And Jeff Colyandro with NASCAR picks. Did I mention that as well? Let's bring in the Flatter Man, though. Let's start with Ron Flatter, ladies and gentlemen. He's the glue that holds this entire operation together. Ladies and gentlemen,
you sent me a text earlier. Socks are necessary. This is, it makes me disappear. Look at that. That's kind of cool. Anyway, I brought socks.
Yeah. Well, would you like to tell people what the text was that preceded me saying, yes, you must wear socks?
I simply asked if shirts and pants were compulsory, and you said no, but socks were. So there you go.
Socks were. Yeah. Ron, can I start with college football with you? It's not often that I start
please.
On college football with you. But the biggest news in all of sports yesterday, obviously, for those of us in the United States, was the fact that the Big Ten Conference said, Big Ten Conference said, look, we're only playing conference games this coming year. And by the way, in that same report, in that same release, if you will, saying we're only playing conference games, the Big Ten commissioner was quick to say, we might not play this at all. We're going to start with this as the first sort of salvo here. Those are my words, but just conference games that allowed the Big Ten to really control geographically what they're doing. It will really control more specifically testing. If in fact there needs to be a testing protocol that's more stringent once the season starts, perhaps my question to you, Ron, I guess is perhaps it affords the Big Ten more time to start the season, although we don't really have a sense of questioning of scheduling and what they're going to do. It's Gil Alexander and Ron Flatter, by the way, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're not sure if it just is going to push the season back, if they're going to rejigger the schedule. That hasn't been made clear. And so my question becomes, because there's speculation that the Pac-12 and the ACC are right behind this, is this just the first of an inevitable swing into we're not going to play this at all? Is that your sense, Ron?
Well, if they're not going to play at all, then this is kicking the can down the road. And we've seen this a number of times already. We saw it with the Olympics when there was first the denial, we're going ahead with the Tokyo 2020 games as planned. And then all of a sudden they're pushed back to next year. And now we're beginning to hear some ripple that they may not happen at all. So with football, it's the same thing. To a certain extent, we've seen this with the NFL, with the kicking the can down the road by canceling two preseason games, the players' union saying it would just as soon cancel the whole preseason. They might say that any year, however. So as we look at the what's happened with the Big Ten, and you said, yes, the Pac-12, ACC, a couple things came to mind for me. What's going to happen with a lot of these non-conference schedules for teams that may have a couple of these Power 5 conference games in a row, especially mid-majors? Take a look at a case like here in Las Vegas. UNLV is supposed to open the new Raiders Stadium with a game in late August against Cal. Well, apparently, if the Pac-12 pulls the plug on non-conference games, that is off. More notably, Notre Dame is going to be caught out somehow.
Yes.
Now, the ACC says that it's going to protect Notre Dame because, of course, Notre Dame is a conference member in other sports. So to maintain that relationship, as the conference commissioner there said, we're going to have Notre Dame's back. But when? And I think that's the bigger question right now. When is this going to unfold? The other thing I want to know is, because apparently the Power Five are not as unified as we were once led to believe, and maybe they were unified up until what the Big Ten did yesterday. But if the Power Five is eroding, I guarantee you right now, the last conference that's going to pull the plug on anything is going to be the SEC. And I even made a joke, it may have been to you, as we were texting jokes back and forth. I suggested, what's the over-under on when the NCAA, which doesn't necessarily have the full power over the Power Five as it once did, but if it decides to pull the plug on all intercollegiate football, how soon after that happens does the SEC go to court to try to get a restraining order?
Nicole Auerbach with the first report on all of this, by the way, yesterday. As Field Yates from ESPN pointed out, canceled games as a result of the Big Ten's conference-only schedule will include Ohio State-Oregon, big matchups like Michigan-Washington, Penn State-Vatech, Iowa-Iowa State, Miami-Michigan State, Wisconsin-Notre Dame. You get the idea. $4 billion across the power conferences. That's what we're talking about in terms of the economy here of college football. And you make that point about the unification of the Big Five. You know, I'm here in Pac-12 country here in the Bay, and Larry Scott was saying big things about a month ago, and I came on this show, and I'm like, yeah, Larry Scott and the Pac-12 athletic departments don't wag the dog here. It will ultimately be the school presidents. So, you know, stay tuned. But that's the first salvo in terms of college football. All right, Ron. The Philly against the boys in a major derby prep, the Bluegrass Stakes. This is Swiss Skydiver we're talking about. You wrote about this at VSiN.com. I don't think for those of us who are not big into horse racing like you are and are more casual horse racing fans, wasn't aware, I wasn't anyway, that, you know, this is far more accepted internationally, Phillies going against the boys. But this is very rare here in this country in terms of this this race itself, I believe.
Yeah, this is only the second time that a filly will even start this race, and this race goes back nearly a century. And the only other time a filly started, the race was actually held during World War II, not at Keeneland, where it has been most of the time, in Lexington, Kentucky, but because of wartime restrictions, they moved that race to Churchill Downs. So this will be the first time a filly is seen in this race at Keeneland. Of course, this is the first time this race at Keeneland is not being run in the spring. So, yeah, welcome to 2020. But Swiss Skydiver, an interesting horse. The first two graded stakes that she won this year on her way to winning three in a row, she wasn't favored. In fact, you could get a nice price on her 8-1, 16-1 when she won the Gulfstream Park Oaks back during the winter. So you're looking at our 16-1 actually in the grade three fantasy. Yeah, it wasn't even that long ago at Oaklawn Park a couple months ago. 3.5 months ago, this was a horse that was still just a maiden winner, a one-time winner. And then she lost her graded stakes debut by 6.5 lengths. Now she's turned it on against fillies. So their ownership, their trainer, Kenny McPeak, who's an aggressive guy, likes to take chances, is going ahead and saying, look, we're qualified for the Kentucky Oaks. He doesn't think that the Colts and the Geldings that are racing for the Kentucky Derby this year are that great. Tis the law, honor AP, granted, okay, you could make a case for them on any year. But the rest of the field, he says, is suggesting maybe not that great. And he's certainly saying that about this field in the Bluegrass Stakes tomorrow. I might beg to differ, and we'll all find out in a little more than 24 hours. But he's taking a shot here, and if she wins the race, she's now qualified for the Oaks and the Derby. Now, she wouldn't race them both. They're only a day apart in September. but it certainly creates an area of intrigue, especially in this era where in the last 8 years, you have to get into the Derby through points races. And these points races are generally almost like no girls allowed treehouses. So this girl's crashing the party and trying to do what Winning Colors and Genuine Risk did much earlier in my lifetime.
People still have treehouses, Ron? We'll have to look into that. We'll have to check.
Yeah, I think they're all prefab. Yeah.
So how are you handicapping the race then, sir?
Well, there's not a lot of front-end speed in this race. In fact, Swiss Skydiver, who won her last race going wire to wire, of course, it was a very, very small field, so that was a big part of it. But will she actually try to take the lead early in the race? Now, I don't know that that necessarily will happen. It could fall to her. If it does, though, I think there's enough speed up front to where it will be a decent pace, but not, it won't be, you know, walking the dog, as they say, when it is really slow. I actually think this race sets up for one of the horses that will be stalking the lead, what we say is getting first run on the leaders turning into the stretch. And in looking for a price on these horses, the logical ones, I'd look at Rushy, 15-2 in foreign betting so far on this race, 5-1 morning line. I don't like his post position drawn way outside. I think there's a horse named Man in the Can. He's been a stakes winner twice in Arkansas against state bred horses. So this is a step up in class for him. You're probably going to get 9 or 10 to 1 on this horse. 9 to 1 right now in the foreign betting globally. 10 to 1 on the morning line. Drawn into post 5. Tyler Gaffalione, good jock in that area. That's probably going to be my across-the-board play if I see odds in that neighborhood. Man in the Can, the number 5 horse. Actually, I've almost thought that this horse was named for me.
I think I get it, Ron. We're talking to Ron Flatter, by the way, who has, of course, his own racing podcast, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. And let me just say, may I briefly, very seriously, Ron, your episode on race in racing, we don't have to get into it here, but I just want to tell people, if you want like to witness great journalism from Ron Flatter, that episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, I gave it a listen last night, Ron. Tremendous, where you go through the history at the top. You have a panel discussion. Really phenomenal job on your part with that. By the way, Danny Burke informs me in my ear that we have the Ron Flatter Who's Hot and Who's Not Kentucky Derby list up on the screen. We can flash that up, VSiN.com, the VSiN app. Anything you wanted to say about this, Ron, real quick?
Yeah, let me go find it on my screen here. As soon as you pop it up on your screen, I'll remember what it was that I put on my screen. Oh. Look, Uncle Chuck is on there. I know he's there because he's 2 for 2 for Bob Baffert, and he's just getting pounded right now in terms of where he is, in terms of the betting and the futures plays. 1,000 Words is the other Bob Baffert that was in that race last week that Uncle Chuck won. That was the Los Alamitos Futurity. And actually, Gab acquitted himself rather well in that race, even though it was a short field, but he closed well. So I think you could take a look at him as being hot. Major Fed at 100-1, he was hot. I don't look at him as necessarily being hot anymore. The Who's Nots, these are all Anno Dor had to be scratched from the Los Alamitos Futurity, some sort of a virus, not that virus. Club Aspen, somebody went into Circa and said, can you give me odds on Club Aspen, a horse that's like 2 for 10? So that was a bit of a mystery. 400-1, yeah, I think I'd book that. And Cezanne is a horse, the other Bob Baffert horse. This is the $3.6 million colt that was partly bought by the big Irish giant breeding operation Coolmore. And they, you know, they really want to win a Kentucky Derby. So they bought in on this well-bred horse. But this horse hasn't really impressed. You get a well-bred horse like that, and you want to have the big, you know, the jaw-dropping victory. And he has yet to show it in his 2 appearances. So he's drifted to 14-1 at Circa and 20-1 at William Hill. So he'd be a Who's Not, although I wouldn't necessarily toss him completely out on Derby Day if I saw him in the field.
All right, let me ax you this, Ron, if I might. Chris Felica, the Bear, who's making his 8th consecutive appearance, unpaid, by the way,
wow,
right here in a numbers game at VSiN, later today to talk Del Mar. And, oh, man, this is the day of the year where we typically, we say amongst ourselves, oh, can't, Del Mar, you got to go to Del Mar day one. Not exactly your typical Del Mar. I'll find out if he picks on this momentarily. But Chris has come on the show here in the last couple weeks. And to say it's the, you know, the time in the calendar early in weeks that is that has a dearth of horse racing tracks that are bettable is it might be an understatement. We've talked about Delaware, we've talked about Philly, we've talked about, I'm trying to think, Indianapolis. Which of these tracks in Nevada, where you are, is bettable or are bettable, and which are not typically?
Well, early in the week, you're lucky to get one sometimes because of the agreements or lack of them between the cartel of race books in Nevada and individual tracks. You can often see 13 or 14 tracks on a thoroughbred menu, and maybe only Parks Racing in Pennsylvania will be available, complete with their big fat takeout, I might add. So that has been a problem. And you start to see this. I mean, Indiana Grand, not available in Nevada, and they just had a Kentucky Derby prep there this past week. So, yeah, it's become unfortunate. As far as Del Mar is concerned, they're only going to race 3 days a week this year. They'll hopefully have fuller fields because, remember, you've had a lot of horses leaving Southern California. Part of it was the Santa Anita death crisis last year. Some of it is regulation. A lot of it also just the horse population being so far from the real center of racing population to the east, so there are fewer choices. I look at Del Mar. They've got a stake today, the Oceanside, which is the traditional one-mile turf opener. I looked at this form, and I thought, okay, I wanted to see what I like before the morning line came out, and there's a deep closer named Canderel that I thought might be among the morning line favorites. When I saw 12-1 pop up, I thought, okay, hello overlay. So I'm looking at Canderel in this race, but hopefully fuller fields for Del Mar this summer, only racing the 3 days a week. Part of the reason they're only racing 3 days a week is they're not going to have crowds. So it's not like they're going to be losing income from the lack of gate. They're losing that anyway. But part of the lack of crowd means there's going to be, I would suggest, Gil, it's odds on that there will be a lot less alcohol consumed at today's opening day at Del Mar than normal.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Ron, have we covered it all? I think we might have. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, can I come on with you next week?
No, I'll be on vacation. You can come on with anybody else, though, that you'd like to.
Where are you going to go? Can you take me with you?
No, can't do that, Ron. I gotta go, Ron. Thank you, though, for the offer. Well, I'll consider it off air. We'll get back to you. Ron Flatter, everybody. The glue that holds it all together. It's the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, available this week as well, which, you know, we didn't have Ron plug, so maybe I should plug it for him right now. On this week's Ron Flatter Racing Pod, legendary sports gambler Hank Goldberg and art collector's trainer Tommy Drury are the guests. South Point Race and Sportsbook Director Chrissy Andrews, I know that guy. He handicaps a Saturday card at Keeneland as well. It's the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, posted now at Apple, Google, iHeart, Spotify, Stitcher, and at VSiN.com/podcast, sponsored by First Bet. Let's update the golf real quick, because we have nothing but picks. Soccer coming up, Major League Baseball props. We'll give you Jeff Colandro's NASCAR, a whole bunch of stuff. But golf right now, second round, as you know, of two consecutive weeks at the Workday Charity Open at Dublin, Ohio, Muirfield, Jack Nicklaus's course. Remember, the bigger pool of players will be next week in this, the rare back-to-back on the same course. Colin Morikawa is in the lead right now, two-stroke lead over, well, a whole bunch of golfers. Not a whole bunch. I'd say three golfers now. I just see the leaderboard updating right now. Colin Morikawa, two-stroke lead. He's at 8-under, 1-under for the day through 10. So he's not exactly running away with it. But two-stroke lead over Joaquin Neiman, Andrew Putnam, and Adam Hadwin. And then three-stroke lead over Poulter, Sloan, Burns, Matsuyama, who's yet to tee off, Taylor, Zach Johnson. Still anybody's tournament, of course. I was 2-for-2 on the first round head-to-heads yesterday. Those went well. Dramatic comeback from four strokes down for Matt Kuchar over Kevin Streelman. Also hit Rory Sabatini over Christian Kirk. But the full tournament matchups, I might go 1-2 in these. If that might be fortunate. Patrick Cantlay, whenever you're ready to start playing golf, I'm all there for you. I have Cantlay winning it outright, and Cantlay in a tournament long matchup with John Rahm. John Rahm not exactly doing great yesterday, but Cantlay is mired way back at the cut line right now. I think he's 1-under, and right now that's where the cut would be. He would just get in at 1-under. A lot of golf to be played, but anytime you're ready, Cantlay. Ready for you to play play some golf. Please go ahead. But I got Cantlay over Rahm. Rose over Morikawa is dead on arrival. That one is dead. Kuchar over him. I don't know. Maybe I can go. I can still go 2-1 on those. We shall see. Kepka, Hovland, Cantlay. Hovland definitely the best chance in the outrights right now. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Champions League draw. Someone must have been asleep at the wheel. These don't appear to be fixed at all, as draws typically come. And then three Premier League picks from Paul Carr from True Media Networks. It is next. It is a numbers game, a pandemic pick fest, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The debut of the UFC's Fight Island is featured in the new issue of Point Spread Weekly, ready for download later today, or actually that was yesterday. It's out. It is out and about. Lou Finocchiaro offers his opinions on four of the matchups, including the Usman-Masvidal main event. We had Lou on A Numbers Game yesterday. We'll put up his picks later again. Plus, we cover in Point Spread Weekly NFL, NBA, MLB, horse racing, much, much more. Just sign up now. Get all of VSiN's content free until a major sport returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. Ladies and gentlemen, his hair is growing back. It's Paul Carr from True Media Networks. How you doing, Paul? Good morning, man.
Good morning. Happy to pull a Felica and sweep the week for you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. You are chasing Felica. Listen, I have much to talk to you about and so little time. One,
let's roll.
The Champions League draw this morning, as you and I were joking about, half joking, prior to the show, I'm looking at this bracket and I see that the Real Madrid Man City winner, and let's see who else here. We got Juventus, Barcelona, Bayern Munich. They're all on the same side of the draw. What happened to the fix fest that we usually are privy to?
Yeah, the draw orchestrator may not be heard from again, but it's really fun from a soccer standpoint because you're going to get somebody who's never won in the final. So that'll be, and most of them play a pretty entertaining style. But yeah, just looking at names, Real Madrid, Man City, Bayern, Chelsea, Barcelona, Juventus, all on the same half. And some of those are going to go out here as they finish the round of 16. But yeah, it looks very lopsided, but it should make for a really fun tournament.
Should be, for sure. And look forward to that taking place again. Two venues in Lisbon, Portugal, when that goes down. All right, MLS. We talked about it during the show yesterday. Yesterday morning, New York was playing Philly, early morning East Coast time in MLS. Stone Cold under, coast job. Last night, New England Revolution, Montreal Impact. You throw out the records when New England plays Montreal in MLS ball. That was a coasty under. Super small sample size. And I know the MLS is one of these things that can nip you in the butt eventually with scoring. But for now, do you like a sort of under? I mean, I've been playing unders in like several countries every day. MLS qualify as well?
I think so. It makes sense until, as we say, until you show me otherwise, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, Seattle plays tonight. Maybe that's one to avoid just because they're typically one of the best teams and San Jose can play a little bit open, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense right now. I mean, especially in the heat, you got these early game times that teams never have before. They're playing at 9 a.m. Eastern time, I think. And right now I would lean under on just about any match.
Okay. You have a trio. We're back to the Paul Carr trifecta trio of picks in the Premier League tomorrow. What you got?
Yeah, we can blitz through these. So I'm going to take West Ham to win at Norwich City, even money there. This is more of a bet against Norwich, which has lost all five games since the restart. They lose this, they will be relegated if they lose this. They've been outscored 11-1. They just don't have anything. West Ham's been okay. Actually, seventh best in expected goal difference. They got that win over Chelsea a couple weeks ago. So I will start with West Ham winning at Norwich City, even money there.
You're coming off a Man U, easy Man U winner yesterday, by the way. Did you end up playing the full game in addition to the first half?
Yeah, ended up full game. So there's nothing like coasting. You know, they got maybe a gift penalty in that first half, but tacked one more on to cruise into the first half cover. And yeah, that was nice and easy. I always like those.
Was that 5-0 was the final, if I'm not mistaken?
I've lost track. 4-5, whatever it ended at.
I think it was fun. If they could only be that easy. All right, there's your first one. West Ham at Norwich City. What's number two?
Going Man City minus a goal and a half at Brighton. -115, the number I got that at. Man City's been the best team in the league since the break. They've won 5 of 7 games by 2+ goals. They're out shooting opponents by 12 shots a game. And they're just way better. Their only loss was against Southampton that they really should have won. They outshot by a mile. And their defense has been pretty good, whether it's the defense or just the offense holding the ball. If you throw out the Chelsea game, which was kind of a weird one, City's only given up about 3 expected goals against. So City's dominating. No reason to go against them here. Minus a goal and a half at Brighton, which doesn't really have anything to play for. -115 the price.
All right, Man City minus a goal and a half. And finally,
Chelsea at Sheffield United. I'm going to play the goal line here. Chelsea -1, +105 the number. Chelsea's been pretty good since the break, too. They've won 4 of 5 games. They've outshot all their opponents. Sheffield United, before the break, was kind of a fringe Champions League team, and they've really struggled. I think the break hurt them maybe more than any other Premier League team. They're in the bottom half dozen or so in the league in all the defensive stats, expected goals, expected goals against, expected goal difference, et cetera. They've only taken more than 7 shots once in any of their games. So Sheffield United's struggling toward the end of the season where they don't have a ton to play for, except maybe get it in Europa League, which isn't even necessarily a good thing. So I'm going to take Chelsea -1 at Sheffield United +105, my price.
All right, West Ham, Man City minus a goal and a half, Chelsea minus a goal at Sheffield, and Christian Pulisic +200 to score, an American. Thank you,
Crazy.
Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
Networks, Paul. Come back for more MLB on the Numbers Game at VSiN Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
A Numbers Game at VSiN, proudly brought to you by Manscaped.com. Manscaped.com is the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSiN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN20. Skill Alexander in the Bay. Jason Weingarten down the coastline from somewhere under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. Good morning to you, Jason.
Good morning, Gil. How's it going?
Well, man, Jason writing for Point Spread Weekly, doing big things with all these baseball picks. Let me review, because we don't have a whole bunch of time here, Jason, so I'm going to go through real quick. We'll rehash again. Bryce Harper to win NL MVP. We mentioned all the prices in on previous shows. Shohei Ohtani, I think it was 35-1 to win AL MVP. Vlad Guerrero Jr. to hit the most homers. Ozzie Albies in the most hits category. Fernando Tatis Jr. also in that same category. Max Scherzer to lead both leagues in strikeouts. Lucas Giolito to lead the AL in strikeouts. These were all at the prices mentioned when Jason first aired them. Then you added Bo Bichette to the hits deal at 41-1. Leads AL in hits 20-1 last time. So parsing those out that way. All right, let's get to some more real quick. You have some thoughts on the Reds.
I do. I bet the Reds this week. I bet them twice. I bet them to make the playoffs at +175, and I bet them to win the division at +275. I think that's way too high.
Way too high. 60-game season, 66-game stretch. We've talked about the Reds with Castellanos and with Moustakas. They have a roster construction of an AL team as far as NL teams go. You mentioned the Mariners. You were taking a flyer on the Mariners to win the AL West at 100-1, because why not, quite frankly, in a 60-game season. And you compared it to how the Rangers were 16-1, and the Mariners at 100-1 looks like a solid bet based on those numbers anyway. You also have another Mariners bet you made.
Yeah, I bet them 15-1 to make the playoffs. I like the idea that in the shortened season, some of these teams might be able to sneak in to the playoffs via a wild card, but not necessarily win the division. So I thought 15-1 was probably a better value than telling people to go out there and take 100-1 on the Mariners winning a stacked AL West.
All right. Still so much time before the start of the season. So Jason's going to keep adding some week after week. Trout, we've all heard the reports. First, it's look, my wife is having a baby in August, so I'm going to be gone for some big part of August to begin with. Now he feels completely uncomfortable, it seems, about playing at all, if you're to believe some reports. So you played into that with Mike Trout.
Yeah, I played the under on home runs. It was 16.5 at BetMGM. I got the under on that. I think 16.5, 17 home runs is probably about what the best players are going to hit over 60 games with no rest. I even heard Cody Bellinger say yesterday he expects to hit about 17 home runs and says 17 home runs should lead baseball in most home runs. I think a couple players will probably break 20, but I don't think Mike Trout's going to be one of them, especially if he's sitting out anywhere between 5 to 10 games. It's going to be really hard to hit 17 home runs in 50 games.
Did you see Cody Bellinger's press conference yesterday, by the way? Talk about being under a cloud of smoke. Did you see that? My goodness.
No, I could imagine answers are pretty much the same.
Very altered Cody Bellinger, for those who are interested in such things. All right, most strikeouts. We already talked about your bets on Scherzer and then Giolito specifically to the AL. How about NL? Who are you going with here?
I got Chris Paddock to lead the NL in strikeouts, 65-1 at BetMGM. That's another one of those bets. I'm not super confident that it's going to win. I just fall in love with the number, and I think 65-1 on one of my favorite pitchers is too good to pass up.
Too good to pass up. And then a thought on the RBI category. We haven't gotten to that category yet.
So I'm still working on the RBI, the market, the most RBI market itself. That's kind of random. RBIs are not super predictable, like home runs, for example. But I really like Yordan Alvarez over 35.5 at -105. Yordan Alvarez is also one of my favorite players, as anybody who's listened to this show can attest to. But I think 35.5 RBI is a bet I'd be more comfortable making than his over home run projection, which is 13.5, because Yordan is a very good hitter in general, not just a home run hitter, but he hits everything. And I like the lineup in front of him on the Astros. He's got Correa, Brantley, and Bregman hitting in front of him. Every day he should have ample opportunities to hit the ball somewhere and get some RBIs. I really like that bet. Preview my stuff next week. I'm probably betting him to win the RBI market, but I'm still shopping for numbers.
All right. We could just go through these one by one. Last question, exit question, has to be about politics, apolitically speaking, when you're on. But I failed to ask you this in previous appearances. You, as I recall, were fading Biden to be the Democratic nominee, obviously, before things turned. Are you resigned to the fact that he will be, in fact, the Democratic nominee in all scenarios? Or are you still in the back of your mind, do you still think there's a last minute shocker possibility?
Back of my mind, I definitely think there's still a shocker possibility. I think there are several possibilities for shockers on both sides still. I'm somewhat resigned to the fact that I'm probably not going to make any money against Biden and betting the field against him, but I would not get my, you know, I would not put the cart in front of the horse here until the ink's dry or whatever expression you want to use here. I think Biden's still incredibly vulnerable. And if you just watch anything he says on TV, anytime he goes on TV, he inspires no confidence that he's, you know, getting better. I'm trying to think how to say it. That is, he's getting more, he's getting less lucid as things go on, not more lucid. And it's worrisome. But no, I don't think I'm going to make any money betting against him, unfortunately. I am prepared for more surprises, though.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you gave great advice last time when I asked one with the presidential election, which is still 4 months away. Any outcome is possible. Like the varied outcomes in this Nothing would surprise any of us. Jason Weingarten, with all his baseball picks, he'll have more between now and the start of the season. At Spreadopedia on Twitter, Point Spread Weekly Baseball Expert. Thank you, Jason, as always, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Chris Felica, horse racing from Del Mar, next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM is giving new customers the chance to win 100 United States dollars in free bets when they place a $1 wager on Kamaru Usman to beat Jorge Masvidal in the main event Saturday on the UFC's Fight Island card. All you got to do is sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with, of course, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, daily promos, and much, much more. Here's all you got to do. Download the BetMGM app today. Use bonus code VSIN100, that's V-S-I-N 100, to win $100 in free bets when you bet $1 on Usman to beat Masvidal. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Indiana. Ladies and gentlemen, making his record 8th consecutive appearance on A Numbers Game at VSiN, all to be paid in food, it's Chris Felica. Good morning to you, Chris.
The old barter system always works out well with me. I'm totally good with that. I'm okay.
I know your weak spot. let me start with college football with you. I started the show with this. Biggest news yesterday in American sports was the Big Ten deciding, yeah, conference only. In that same release, though, they sort of allowed for the fact that this might not happen at all. And we're hearing rumors of the Pac-12 and the ACC being right behind this. I'll ask you what I asked Flatter early. To you, from your very insightful vantage point, is that like I just heard Paul Feinbaum said he's giving, and he ran it through the Paul Feinbaum models, but he's giving it 25% for there to be a season at all. How are you viewing the announcement yesterday? Do you agree with that Feinbaum take?
Yeah, I agree with Paul that I think it's less than 50%. I do agree with that. I think that people are treating the announcement yesterday, well, you're telling me that a Big Ten conference game with Rutgers playing at Nebraska is that's okay, but you can't have Rutgers drive down the road to Temple to play, and or Iowa can't play Iowa State. And I get that. I totally understand that. I think yesterday's announcement was more about keeping teams on your schedule for in a conference game for uniformity. That way, you know, all of your opponents are abiding by the same guidelines and the same rules and the same regulations that the rest of your league is. And you're not necessarily, your travel is limited somewhat. I get keeping those traditional close rivalry games intact. But I think ultimately this is a first step, and like, okay, we have this plan laid out where, okay, we can start here with conference games only. Then if something else happens, okay, we can have these conference games, but space them out more. I think the plan is probably laid out where the very end game is the fact that the season would be scrapped. I don't think anybody wants that, but I think this is a first step to try and make sure that we do kind of have some football this year. But I would agree with Paul that I think, unfortunately, right now we're looking at less than 50%. And that's from where I was, because I've been hopeful all along, but I think it's going to be hard.
From a betting standpoint, we hope we're all wrong. Those of us who express any kind of doubt or skepticism, by this time, in any year, you and I have talked about a myriad of season wins and that kind of thing. Oh. And there's just, you know, there's just no way to, it's not even, there's no point to talk about that stuff. We know nothing, you know.
No.
Futak and I did the SEC a couple weeks ago, and I complained the whole way through it. I'm like, this is the only one I'm doing, and I'm just appeasing, I'm just appeasing you. But there really is there's no way to do these.
When the Caesars had first posted the Power Five totals, and actually all the totals back in whenever it was, March or April, when this first got going, I mean, I had to do a story for ESPN.com. Hey, what are the, in Daily Wager and Chalk, well, what do you like? And yeah, it's my job and I have to do it and treat it like the season's being. We talked about some of those with Purdue and Arizona and Coastal Carolina and Kent and some of those games. But obviously all that work is got scrapped. And right now, honestly, yeah, why bother? Because we don't know if the Big Ten is going to add a 10th conference game. Who are you going to add? When are they going to be played? Are they just going to redraw the conference games with what you have right now? Or are they going to just totally shuffle? So it's a fruitless exercise, an exercise of futility right now to even think about all that.
Yeah, and I think the ones that were up are all probably gone at this point now, so it's not, there's nothing even to get into as everybody's sort of on the same page. Yesterday, much like our buddy Paul Carr, who gave us Man U first half, which was a and then for the full game, which was a coast job, you gave us a nice one yesterday. Leeds over Stoke City, just as cruisy as Paul's pick. If anything today?
There isn't a ton today. It's not. I did think the under 2.5 in the Sporting CP match over in Portugal, that was probably of all the matches today, that was probably the one that I think is most likely. Sporting doesn't really score a ton of goals. They're kind of locked in a position now where they're trying to hold on to that Europa qualifying spot. They say Santa Clara, who's a middling level team. They scored fewer than 30 goals on the year. It's two teams that really don't score a ton of goals. Santa Clara, not a ton to play for. Sporting looking to hang on to that Europa qualifying spot. So I think the under 2.5 in that Sporting Santa Clara match is probably the way to go there.
Yeah. For those who don't know, what we do after this show is we in-game under across countries and add the MLS into that now. It's a whole thing that takes place off screen, but nothing really to talk about until those games actually get going. All right, Chris, Del Mar, the opening of Del Mar, usually one of the finest days in horse racing, and I'm not talking about just on the track, if you know what I mean. You have picks from there. You have a total of 4 picks in horse racing today. What do you got?
Yeah, I steered clear of Belmont today because we're expecting some pretty significant rain in the Northeast. So with races probably coming off of the turf and being run over a sloppy track, I said just to stay out of the bullseye there and just avoid that and not worry about Belmont. But I had one at Keeneland because I thought they were supposed to get some rain as well. And this is a main track race. It's the last race on the card. In the ninth race, the number 8 horse, 2x2, was 15-1. On the morning line. And I think there's going to be a good bit of speed in here. I think if the track does get wet, the outside draw will certainly help 2x2, who's run on the turf the last 2 times out, but I think very easily should handle the dirt and the cutback just fine. If you look at that, the PPs, you look at the race at Gulfstream a couple back, he broke dead last from the rail and then made up a ton of ground, finishing 3rd behind the 2 shortest prices on the board in that race. I think with the outside post, like I said, I think this one could set up to come running down the middle of the track late for the Ian Wilkes barn, who has had off to a very good start at Keeneland. Then they go to Del Mar for 3. We'll look at Del Mar 5, the number 5 for us, Mongolian Legend, who's 8-1 in the morning line, but probably won't be close to that because I think everyone is going to immediately notice that this one chased home a very nice Bob Baffert colt named Cezanne in the last race that he ran over at Los Alamitos. So there certainly are not any Cezannes in this $50,000 starter allowance. So I think his second try against winners, he should run even better today. With the blinkers on, he'll be forward 8 placed. And I would expect Mongolian Legend to have a big shot in the 5th at Del Mar. Then the 7th at Del Mar, I like the number 8 horse, Strike at Dawn. It's a nice wide open race on the turf. You can never go wrong with back and Flavien Pratt and Richie Baltus in a turf race at Del Mar. Strike at Dawn's actually won at Del Mar before. Ran a really nice race in the Grade 3 Stakes in November at Del Mar. Now cuts back to an allowance level race in a mile distance after running in a stakes in the left. So I think there are a lot of things like a little drop in competition, showing that he's liked the turf, of course, at Del Mar before. So I think Strike at Dawn in the seventh at Del Mar at 6-1 is a nice looking play there as well. And then I'll head to the last at Del Mar, the 10th, the number 10 course, Castle Gate, who is 7-2. I think this one is going to be very, very hard to beat today. Brooke Maiden easily here, was claimed out of that race by Jeff Mullins, romped at the non-winners at 2 level. Then they moved him up a ton in class and put him on the turf for some reason, and that didn't go well. This is a much more realistic, easier spot than non-winners at 3 lifetime claiming level today, and I think Castle Gate at 7-2 is a very likely winner in the 10th at Del Mar.
All right, there's your 4 horse racing picks. If you didn't catch them, 2x2, Mongolian Legend. Well, 2x2 at Keeneland, 9th race, Mongolian Legend, Strike at Dawn, and Castlegate in the 5th, 7th, and 10th at Del Mar today. We'll retweet them at Beating the Book and at Chris Felica. Chris, people are asking for updates on the results of these races now, as if you need to be on call for all these all day long. But that's the latest request.
That's
I'll
okay.
just end
I mean,
it on this because right as I open. Yeah, absolutely. They're paying attention. They want to know. They want to know how you're doing. We only have 60 seconds here, but right as I say, Colin Morikawa, please go away. And then I said the fateful words. He's not exactly running away with this. He goes ahead and birdies the next 3 holes after I open my mouth. This is a run out right now for Colin Morikawa. A lot of golf to be played, obviously, but he has a 5-stroke lead all of a sudden. Cal's Colin Morikawa, 5-stroke lead, and he's still got 5 holes to play at the Workday Charity Open. Do you have Morikawa in anything, Chris?
I had suggested maybe taking a shot with Justin Rose against him for the tournament. That obviously is not going to go well. But hey, Morikawa's been in this position before with the lead. We'll see if he can finish it. There was one golf head-to-head I did like today. I did like Maverick McNealy against Michael Thompson. McNealy had 2 double bogeys yesterday, 1 in the water and 1 in the bunker fest in a par 5, and he still shot the same score as Michael Thompson. So you think McNealy would get his game together a little bit better today. So I thought McNealy over Thompson head-to-head worth looking at. So there you go.
Chris,
a trifecta of pandemic special soccer, horse racing, and golf.
There you go. Hard out. Gotta run. McNealy over Thompson. Thank you, Chris. Coming back with Todd Wright on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.